Our second scripture reading this morning is from Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. And in your pew Bible, beginning on page 162 of the New Testament. My Bible gives this section a heading of Marks of the True Christian. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will be heaping burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
The 1980s movie Ghostbusters had a catchy theme. In the background, a voice claimed, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts." And the song ended with a call and response. Join in if you know the answer. Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
The answer, of course, was Ghostbusters, a motley crew of four guys who invented technology that could chase ghosts back to wherever they came from. It was just scary enough, and it was a lot of fun. When pastors leave, not so much fun. Not only do we miss them as friends and colleagues, but the pastor is to a church like the hub of a wheel. He or she knows things about the congregation that the rest of us don't. They get information from outside the church that affects us. The denomination, the community, and they share it with us. They see us through major church renovations. They go to our meetings and try to make sense of us and our methods. They visit us when we're sick. They marry us, and they help our families bury us. They're in the church office during the week and in church on Sunday. Who are you going to call? The pastor. When the pastor is gone, it leaves a big void. All sorts of emotions come flooding in to fill that void. We might be kind of mad at them for leaving. We're sad about the change and uncertain about the future. We can become anxious, preoccupied, and even a little disoriented. Not to mention the time and effort in finding a new pastor and beginning the same process all over again. What's the point, we ask? What does God want from us? Ah, that's the real question, isn't it? Look around you for a minute in this sanctuary. Look across the aisle. Look behind you. Look in front of you. Who's left? Me, you, and God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God who made us and loves us at our best and in spite of our worst. God who sent his Son to save us, not because we're worthy of it, but because we needed saving. And it is in God's nature to perfect the unperfectible. Only God can make perfect what is imperfect. That's why calling on God is a repeated theme in the Bible. In 1 Kings, Elijah called on his name in the famous battle with the priests of Baal, and fire came down from heaven to consume not only the offering, but the stones as well. We heard part of Psalm 105 this morning, which says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people." But we don't only call on God the Father, for it took the life of his Son Jesus, his beloved Son, with whom he was well pleased, to accomplish that task of perfecting us. Because Jesus surrendered himself wholly to do God's will, he stands here with us this morning as we worship. In Corinthians 10:13, Paul says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." Who are you going to call? In the introduction to his first letter of the Corinthians, Paul could be talking to us. To the church of God that is in Oakton, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with those who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, we are called together with all those who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be saints, and we are called to support others who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called on to support our brothers and sisters in Nigeria who worship in danger and live with courage and faith. We are called into what the Church of the Brethren terms the priesthood of all believers. It is the idea that we are all pastors to each other and to the world around us. We are called to support each other during times of sickness and sadness, times of loss and fear, and times of celebration and joy. We are called to tell others the good news. We are called to follow the example of Christ, the example spelled out by Paul in Romans 12. Hold fast to what is good. And there is so much good in our congregation. I marvel at those who serve with such dedication and attend with such devotion. Love one another. Our congregation has been so generous in sharing our blessings. We support families at Thanksgiving and Christmas. We help the nutrition program at the Washington City Church, district and national programs, and local organizations who help others. Serve the Lord. As worship chair, I often ask for volunteers to serve, and I'm always gratified by the willing response. I see the deacons on call at a moment's notice. I see property committee doing everything from changing light bulbs to shoveling snow. Helpers at Vacation Bible School are amazing, and the craft show brings us all together in the fall. And these are just a few of the ways we serve. And so Paul continues, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers, live in harmony with one another, live peaceably with all. In the spirit, and just for fun, we offer you the 5-in-2 challenge that you may have read in your bulletin. Make a personal contact with 5 individuals, couples, or families in the congregation in the next 2 months, September and October. Issuing or accepting an invitation both count. Invite them to dinner, ask them out for coffee, meet them somewhere for ice cream, or send them a card with a written message. The object of the game is to get to know each other better, to reach across the aisle, as the politicians say, to make contact with that person you've been meaning to call anyway. Share your experiences and joys and concerns, and we'll celebrate in early November. Our search committee is ready to begin the search for our next pastor. Pray for them as they make decisions on our behalf. Trust them as they labor for us. And perhaps, if we are faithful, our new pastor will come to a congregation even more welcoming, loving, giving, and forgiving. Who you gonna call? God, of course, and each other.